Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now on in Bava Metzia Daf Ayin Tet Amud Aleph at the Brita that's at the bottom of the Amud, picking up on the issue of renting something and then in mid journey it failing. Tanur Banan Sacher Tasfina, and we're talking about someone who rents a boat for purposes of transferring cargo, as we'll see momentarily, and it drowned, it sunk halfway on the journey. It's sort of a Mosav Chaval Avaraya kind of thing. If the fellow already paid for the rent, then he can't get it back. But if he didn't pay, he shouldn't pay. So at Hechidami, what's the story? If he said, I'm renting this boat, the Yayin Stam, and he said, I'm taking some cargo and didn't specify which. Even if he paid, he should get his stuff back because he paid for that boat. That boat failed. He should get his money back. So, he should say, give me the boat that I'm, because I'm carrying some wine, right? So, it can't be the case that he specified that boat. It must be that he said, give me any boat. I'm carrying this particular wine. So then how come if he didn't yet pay, he shouldn't pay? After all, the owner can say, give me that wine. And of course, the wine is inaccessible because it sunk, but he could say, give me that wine, and I'll give you another boat, because all you specified was a boat. So in what case, why is Rabbi Natan saying that if you paid, you don't get it back, but if you didn't pay, you don't pay? The only possible way you could have a situation like this is where you specified a particular boat but a particular wine. And that solves both ends of the problem. But if you just said, a boat and I'm carrying some cargo, then a cholkin. So in other words, we have as follows. If you said Sfina Zu, then even if you paid, you should get your money back and certainly shouldn't pay if you didn't pay. If you said Sfina Stam and Yayin Zu, and then that means you really can't go further because that wine is gone, that particular cargo is gone, then even if you didn't pay, you should still pay the guy because he's willing to offer you a boat. If you said Sfina Zu V'Yayin Zeh, then you really have the situation where if you paid, neither one of them can really finish the deal. And therefore, whoever's the Tovea is, as Rashi says, Yad Tovea La Tachtona, and therefore whoever wants the money is in the poor position. Something akin to a motzu mechal avaraya, the same kind of result, and therefore if you paid, you can't get it back, but if you didn't pay, he can't get it from you. All right, but if it was finastam and yayinstam, then you have mamon amuta basofek and cholkin, all right, he has to pay back half of them because they both have an ability to continue the thing. He could give you another boat, and you could give different wine. You could use different wine for your cargo because you didn't say yayin zet. All right, Tanur Banan, Sachar Tasfina, Uparkala v'chatzei aderech, parallel kind of case, or similar case, if you rented a boat, and then it sounds like you unloaded it halfway. You rented it to go from point A to point B, and halfway to point B, you stopped and unloaded your cargo, and that was the end of it. You only have to pay him half the rent. And the only thing that the owner, this is what we think, the owner has against you is bad faith, as it were. A claim, but no financial claim. So Hechidami, what's the story? If the owner can find someone else to rent the boat at that point, I might later ruin it. Why does he have a complaint? He can find someone else to rent it. If he can't find anyone else to rent it, then Kuli Agrabai Shlumi, the other fellow should pay him the whole thing. Because the other fellow took it from point A, where there are renters, to the middle of somewhere where there's nobody to rent it, and ditched the boat there. Why shouldn't he pay for the whole trip? So the olam de kamishkach lagure. The answer is, we're talking about a case where you could find alamay le tarumet. So why does the owner have a claim? Mishum defasta sfina rafsata de sfinta, because of the trampling on the boat. Meaning, when you stop and you unload, then all of the ropes that come in and out and everything else is wear and tear on the boat. So the guy can rent out his boat, but now instead of it going through loading and unloading once from point A and then unloading at point B, it gets loaded, laden at point A, unloaded at point B, reloaded at the midpoint with somebody else who rents it, and unloaded there, there's extra wear and tear. So then it's not just taromet, he has a real claim of real wear and tear. He should have a financial claim against the renter who stopped halfway. So we have to interpret it differently. Elamai parka, what does parka mean? It doesn't mean he unloaded the boat halfway. The parka litune begave, meaning he stopped halfway and took on more cargo. So amai taromet, why mishum shinui data, inami la'ashli yateira. Either because he changed the original agreement, so the fellow has a complaint against him, you didn't do what you said, you were starting at point A, going straight down the river to point B and unloading, and here you stopped, and midway at point C, or point AB, and took on some more stuff, and then put it into the middle of the boat, or because of Ashli Yatera, that now that there's greater weight, you have to take it to the middle of the river, therefore you need more ropes, and changing the entire structure of how you're doing things. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan, Sachar Tachamor Lekov Aleha. If you rent a donkey for riding purposes, remember donkeys were either for transport or cargo. So if you rented a donkey for riding, Socher Meniach Aleha Ksuto Uleginato Umizonot Shaloto Haderach. You can put your garment on it and your water bottle and food for the entire trip. That's what you, as the renter, have the right to put on. Mikan Vela Chamar Makev Aleha. If you want to put anything else on, then the donkey owner has the right to say, no, you can't put that much on my donkey. You can put your food for the trip, for the whole trip, not just for today, your water bottle, your canteen, whatever it may be, and your garments that you need, your sleeping garments, whatever it may be. Chamar, on the other hand, the donkey owner can, and this is evidently a situation where the donkey owner was responsible for the mizonot, almost like a rental company being responsible for your gas on the trip. The owner puts the barley and the grain and everything else that it's going to eat for that day. Anything more than that, the renter could say, I don't want so much stuff on the donkey. Now, what's the situation? If the road is a place that has lots of stops where you could get food, so the chamar should also be able to say, hey, you can't take food for your whole trip. Take food for a day. On the road, you could stop and get more food. You can't weigh my donkey down so much with a 10-day thing of provisions. And if you can't find anything, then the socher also should not be able to withhold to stop the donkey owner from putting provisions for his donkey for more than one day. So Rav Papa lo tzricha l'shchiach l'mitrach l'mizbar mi'avna la'avna. He said, Rav Papa says, we're talking about a situation where you could find enough to find stuff from each night's lodging to get stuff. But it's trouble. Chamar d'darke l'mitrach l'mizbar. After all, a donkey driver, that's kind of what he does. He takes the donkeys from city to city, and he's got to hunt around and find provisions for them for that night. So he's used to do that. So therefore, socher lav d'darke l'mitrach l'mizbar. But the renter, he's a regular guy. He doesn't usually do that. So the renter, who is riding the donkey and has to have provisions for the whole trip, because when he gets to a new town, he's not going to start hunting around to find the general store and see where to buy stuff. He wants to have his food for the road. The donkey driver, on the other hand, cannot lay on the provisions for the entire trip, because what does he normally do? He normally hunts around at each lodging to find stuff for his donkeys. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. By the way, there was another distinction that Rav Papa could have made, which is kind of in the same spirit, which is that the food for the donkey is something that is, we're used to getting. We find it through in the stories in Tanakh and Shas, when people stop somewhere, so the question of providing food for the donkey, or did you bring your own food? Whereas when people would go on the road, we find often the issue of Tzedal Laderech, you would take your own provisions. Right? Tan Rabbanan. If you, here we go back to the issue of deviating from the original agreement. If you rented a donkey for a man to ride on it, lo terkav aleha isha, a woman shouldn't ride on it, and we're going to see why. From the flip, Isha rochev aleha ish. If a woman rides on it, if they're originally contracted for a woman, and instead a man is riding on it, that's okay. Meaning it's easier for the donkey to carry the man than the woman. V'isha, we said, ben gula, ben tana, afilu mubert, afilu minika. Whether the woman is small or big. In other words, if you contracted for a woman to ride on it, any kind of woman can ride on it, whether a kid or an adult, even if she's pregnant, even if she's minika, even if she's nursing, which means she's got a kid with her. So wait a second, the minute that you say that a nursing mother can, who means she has her and a baby, a separate piece, a separate person, a separate body, then a muberet, then do you have to tell me that even a pregnant one, who's one body but another one inside, can go? So my papa, muberet, vihimanika kamar. What the Brita meant to say was, even a woman who is pregnant and who's nursing, meaning she's got a baby inside, she's got a baby she's carrying, she's nursing, a lot of extra weight. Once you contract for a woman to go, then she's able to do that. So we see that the issue here is one of weight. Amar baye, so that goes back to the beginning of the Braita. Amar baye, shvamina binita akarsa takla. So Abaye says you can learn from this halacha an interesting thing about weight distribution, and that is that the main focus of the weight is in the belly. So binita, a fish, akarsa takla, should be weighed at the stomach. And yeah, that's what you see where the weight is. And that's how you see how big it is, and if it's very big there, then you have to take out the me'ayim, etc. And the purpose of knowing that is for commerce when you're buying a fish. All right, next Mishnah. Hasocher et hapara. Again, this is an issue of deviating from the original schirut. Hasocher et hapara lachrosh bahar v'charash babika. So let's say that you rented, this is very much like the donkey going in a different path. If you rented a cow in order to plow on a mountain, and instead you plowed in the plain, so now in the kankan is, I called it a plow plug, it's officially called a coulter, which is the stick that you put in that does the plowing that's behind the cow. Im nishbar kankan, if it broke, then patur. Alright, because you took it to an easier place. The mountain is rocky, etc. You took it to an easier place. But if you flipped it, so if you originally contracted to plow in the plain and instead took him up to the mountain, then if the thing broke, you're chayav for that thing. Patur. Now we're talking about damage to the animal. If you rented the animal to thresh beans and things like that, and instead you took him to thresh grains, and he slipped, patur. Why? We'll see in a second. Ladush p'tvua v'dash p'kinin chayav, but it flipped it. If you took him to, the original contract was to have him thresh grains, and instead you took him to kitnit, and he slips and falls, chayav. Why? Nesha kitnit machleket, because beans are slippery. And therefore, you contracted for something that was safer, and you took him to something that was less safe. Very much parallel to what we had before about the chamor, the mountain and the valley. Now, the Gemara says, hey, chadaloshani ba, man mishalim. Now, there's a little bit of background to this. The circumstance that the Mishnah is talking about is when there's two players here, which is an owner and a renter. Here, there's two more players in. There's an owner and a renter, maybe, unnecessary to the case, but there's two other guys who are working for the owner, or the guy who's doing the plowing. One of them is driving the animal, and the other one is holding this plow plug. And let's say they did it correctly and it broke, meaning they didn't do it in the wrong place, but the thing broke anyways. Man Mishalim, which one of the workers has to pay? So, Amar Papa Donakit Parsha Mishalim. He says the guy who's got the saddle, meaning the guy who's driving it, because he drove it obviously in a bad direction, and that's why the plow plug broke. Rav Shesha Bray Dravidi Amar Donakit Mana Mishalim. He says, no, the guy who's holding the plow plug, he didn't do it correctly. V'ilchata Donakit Mana Mishalim. And that's the halacha. V'duchta Demach Zaki Gunduri. If it's a place that has a lot of cloddy dirt, then Tarayu Mishalim. Then they both have to pay equally because they both were responsible for what happened. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mocher Para L'Chaviro. Let's say you sold a cow to another fellow. V'amar L'Parazu Nagchaniti. This is a very interesting piece, and we're going to see two examples of the same principle. So just to lay out the principle. When you sell something to another person and you don't identify a known and significant blemish or fault of that thing, which you know is significant, when I say significant, it's known to you and it's significant within the realm of selling those things. It affects the use of that thing. Then you are guilty of fraud. It's a mekach tot, and the person could say, I want my money back, take your thing back. However, we're going to deal with the nuance of that. Hamocher para l'chaviro. Let's say you sold a cow, v'amarlo, and you started listing all the terrible things about this cow. Parazu nagchaniti, it gores. Nashchaniti, it bites. Bataniti, it kicks. Ravsaniti, it jumps on animals. V'yamba mumachad, and one of them was real. And you listed among them, so you listed 5, 6, 12 bad things about it. One of them was real. And then the guy takes it home, and it turns out that he finds this bad thing, and it comes back and says, I want my money back. He has a right to do it back, because you're fooling him by listing a bunch of things, and it made it sound like you're just very humble about your things, and you're very self-denigrating, whatever it may be. But what you're really doing was sneaking a real mum in, a listing among that. But if you said mum zeh umum acher, but if you said the real mum, and you said he's got something else wrong with him, which was not true, but you didn't say it, In other words, you said he bites and does other bad stuff. And the reality is he bites but doesn't do any other bad stuff. Then ein zeh mekachtel, because the fact that you singled out biting should have clued in the buyer. And there we employ caveat emptor. The buyer should have known there really is a problem with biting. And if I don't see something else, I don't know what the something else is anyways. Tanya mehachi, we have a braita that says the same halacha as Rabbi Yochanan, but not in the context of a cow. Ha-mocher shivcha l'chavirov. Somebody sells a shivcha to his friend. Va'amar lo shivcha zu shota. He says she's an imbecile. Nichpeti, she's lame. Mishumemeti, she's kind of crazy. Va'yabu mumachad, and one of them was real. Usnafo ben amumin. And he, again, snuck it in within the list. Ha-reza mekachtaot. And again, the same thing. If he said she's crazy and she's got other things wrong with her, and the real reality is that she's crazy but nothing else, then it's not a mekachtot. What if you listed all of these mumin and they were all true? Then what? Do you say the fact that you listed all these things means the guy thought none of them were true and you were just being self-denigrating? Or is it proper mekach? Amar the Mordechai Ravashi, hachi amin mishmei de Rava, you book on malo and in the mekach tot. Rava said very simply that if she had all of these mumin that were really true, then it's not a mekach tot. Okay, the last piece we're going to look at today: hasocher ta chamor lavi aleha chitin viavi aleha seorin chayav. Here's the deal: you rented a donkey to carry, let's say, one letech, half a kur, that's 15 se'ah, worth of wheat. And instead you brought that same weight of se'orin. Then chayav. We'll see why in a moment. But think about this. Barley is lighter than wheat. Tfuah ve'hevi aleha teven chayav. The same thing if you contracted to bring a certain weight of grain and instead you brought straw, chayav. Again, straw is lighter. Why? Neshanofach kashe b'masui. Volume is either also or is an additional problem in carrying. Meaning, if I contracted to bring 10 pounds of wheat, and instead I brought 10 pounds of barley, 10 pounds of barley is bigger. It's more voluminous. And the same thing with the difference in grain and straw. And therefore, the volume, the extra bulk that he has to carry is also a problem. So if the animal gets hurt, I'm chayav for that. Now, if you contracted lavi letach chitin vevi letach seorin patur, but if you stuck to the weight, mean the volume, if you said I'm going to bring a letach of once again 15 se'ah of chitin, and instead I brought the same volume of seorin, which by the way means it's lighter, patur. V'imosif al-mason, we'll see machloket Abai Rav what this applies to, but if he added on to the burden, chayav. How much do you have to add to be chayav? If you add one grain, is that chayav? No. Sumchus Mishum Rameir, say al legamal, shlosha kabin lechamor. He quoted Rameir saying, if you add one se'ah to the burden of a gamal, or half a se'ah, three kabin, to the burden of a chamor, then you're chayav. Okay. Itmar. Abai, I mentioned Abai and Rav are going to disagree about this. We'll see it right away. Abai Amar Kashek Kim Masu Itnan. Proper Gersin our Mishnah, in the middle of the Mishnah, when it explains the reason for the first half, is kashe kim masui, just like our text has it, meaning that volume is as much of a problem as weight. Rav amar kashe lim masui tanan. Rav says the proper Gersin is not a chaf, but a lamed. In other words, the volume is difficult for a burden. Now, let's see what that means. Abai amar kashe kim masui tanan, meaning nafcha kitakla. Volume is, or bulk, is like weight. V'mosif shlosha kabin chayav. Therefore, the statement at the end of the Mishnah about the shear of three kabin is, it tells you if you add three kabin, that's the shear that makes you chayav. So the seifa of the Mishnah is really explaining, or giving a shear to the resha. Rav amar kashe lim masui tanan, meaning takla ki takla. The weight is the same. V'nafcha v'tosefet. In other words, he says that what happened is the way I explained the Mishnah. You put the same weight of barley on the animal as wheat, but the fact is now there's more volume, that's the problem. And it has nothing to do with the three kabin at the end. We'll see how that plays out for Rava. Tanan. They look at the second half of the Mishnah and says that if you contracted to bring a letach and you brought a letach of sorin, your patur, and if you added your chayav, so my lav shlosha kabin, doesn't that mean that your chayav if you added three kabin, which supports Abaye, so lo se'ah. It means no, that if you added a full se'ah, v'alaktanu v'chamei yosef v'asovei chayav v'shum chosav v'mishum rameir se'ah l'gamal shloshah kabin l'chamor, But we have in our Mishnah, the quote, the Simcha's quoting our mayor, that the shear is three kabin. So how do you say it's a seah? Hachikamar, hechad lo shani, chitin vevi chitin, sorin vevi sorin, seva seah chayav, so chosom mishra mayor, salah gamosh, salah kabin lachamor. Rav explains it as follows. And exactly where you read the Mishnah. If you didn't change the item that you were carrying, it was barley and you kept it barley, it was wheat and you kept it wheat, whatever it was, but you added a percentage. In this case, we'll see 1/30th of the allowable cargo. You added 3 kabin to a chamor, or 6 kabin, 1 se'ah to a gamal, then you're chayav. And it has nothing to do with using different stuff and the problem of volume. This is a separate question. So the resha is an issue of bringing the same weight plus the volume. And the seifa is an issue of changing weight within the same item. Okay, toshma, lavi latach chitin vevi latach vevi shishis ve'sorim. So we have a brayta that says, if you contracted to bring 1 latach, which is 15 se'ah, and in the meantime you brought 16 se'ah, then chayav. So you see, chayav, hashloshet kabin patur. So you see, if you only added 3 kabin, you're patur. So this is a challenge to Abaye. So tirgam Abaye b'mechikta. Abaye says, this is talking, there's different explanation about mechikta. Look at Rashi. Simple reading is, if it's a measure that's exactly measured off and leveled off. When it's exactly leveled off, then we say, until you add a seya, you're not chayav. But with regular measures that are kind of heaping measures, then that's called gedishta. When you use a measure like that, then 3 kabin is already too much. Tana Rabbanan. Here we have a list of what the overages are. Kav lekataf. If somebody's a porter and you add 1 kav to his burden, that's too much. Ardriv, which is a certain Persian measure, la areva. Areva is a very small boat. Kur lesfina, a regular boat. If you add an extra kur to its cargo and then it sinks, then you're chayav. Shloshet kurim leburinigdola. Burinigdola was a fast vessel that could carry a lot of stuff. 3 kurim. Okay, Amar Mar Kav LeKataf. Let's start with the porter. The porter, 1 kav. Im Ita Lo Matzibei Mardatu. Why is there any shear here? He's not a donkey. He's not a boat. He's a person. He has intelligence. If it's too big for him, why doesn't he just turn around and say, I can't take it? Why does he pick it up and get injured? Lishtei, let him throw it down. So two explanations. Amar Baye B'Shechavto La'Altar. One is that as soon as he picked it up, he already got hurt. Rav Amar... Rav Amar, he fell as soon as he picked it up. Rav Amar, filu temim shlochav tolalto, you don't need that. Maybe what it means is not that if he gets hurt, you're chayav for the damages, but rather that maybe you have to pay him extra. In other words, he could carry it, but you have to pay him extra. Rav Ashi Amar, hu savur chulshahu denakit lei. Rav Ashi gives a third answer. He says, maybe the guy picks it up, and he's not himself a scale, so he doesn't know how much it weighs. And maybe he thinks he's not feeling well today, and that's why he picked it up and took it, even though he suffered under it, and then he fell. But the reality is you gave him 1 kav more than he's supposed to take. Kur lesfina, we saw in the third shear was a kur lesfina. Shlosh kurin leborin gdola. Papa shvamina stam sfinot bat flatin kurin. He says, take a look at this. And we're going to start with this. The simple shear that we talked about consistently for a donkey was a letech. A letech is 15 seah. And then what did we say was the overage? 3 kabin, which is half a seah. So he says, therefore I see that the overage is always 1/30th of the normal take. So now, if a overage for a sfina is 1 kur, what do you learn from that? Stam sfinot batlatin kurin. A normal boat should be able to take 30 kur of wheat. The nafkamina, the nakachol mamkar. That has enough kamina for commerce, because if I buy a boat and just a stam sfina, and it's not able to carry more than 20 kor, I'm able to say, that's a mekach taot. I bought a sfina should be able to take 30 kor, as we can see from here. Okay, we'll pick up with the next Mishnah, and we're going to be getting back into the issues of Shmirah, and dealing with the status of workers and what their status is vis-a-vis the material. And their job, and we will pick up in the next podcast on Daf Pei Amud Bet. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.